Here we are on April 8th in 1989, and I have with me this morning Mr. Al Hulbert, who has lived in Westboro. Born in Westboro?
No, I've been here 70 years.
Well, that's pretty that's pretty much of a time, right? Yeah, that's fine. But you went to school, early school.
You want to know where I first lived?
Yes, sure.
When
tell me about
When we first
that.
Moved to Westboro, we lived on the corner of Cottage and South Street.
Oh, yes.
For about 4 months.
Uh-huh.
From there, we moved over to Ruggles Street, the next house to Gladys Ainsworth.
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh. And we lived there about 2 years when my mother and father bought the house at 33 Ruggles Street.
Mm-hmm.
And I lived there until I got married in 1933.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, we moved to Ruggles Street about 1920, I'd say,
mm-hmm.
or 21, right
mm-hmm.
in there.
So you lived there quite a while, too.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Then you and your wife live on Whitney Street.
Well, now, but when we first got married, we had a house on Ruggles Street, about three houses below Baxter Street, $14 a month for seven rooms, but we had to heat it.
Was it coal or was it?
Coal.
Coal.
Yeah.
You had to shovel the coal.
And then we left there and we moved. I was assistant treasurer at Quincy Electric Light
mm-hmm.
in Quincy, and we lived there about a year when I was transferred to Fall River. As assistant treasurer there for about 2 years, or 3 years, and we built our house on Whitney Street in 1938.
Ah.
And we've been there ever since.
Yes. Uh-huh. That's a nice street going up the hill there.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's quiet.
Uh-huh.
Comfortable. Were you the only house in 38, or were there other houses around you?
Well, West Street wasn't there as West Street is now.
West Street
ended right at Whitney Street.
Oh.
And I gave the town, I don't know, about 50 feet of land for about 150 feet. 50 feet this way and 150 this way. And
uh-huh.
then they put Whitney, West Street through to Fisher Street
in
1938.
I see. And then they could build the school. They could build
That's
the Armstrong.
Right. There was no houses around us.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting, too, because we think of that area. But
yeah.
I didn't know that about West Street.
Mm. And the land was given to us by Marion's uncle, George Gessler.
Oh, I know that name. Yeah. Yes. Would you tell the anyone that would be listening to the tape about Mr. Gessler?
What?
About Marion's uncle. Gettner.
What about him?
Yes. Well, anything you know about him.
Well, he owned the Westboro Hat Company.
Yes.
And he retired when he was 42 years old. Never worked after that. He lived on the big house on the corner of Church and Fay Street.
Okay. All
and Marion right. was brought up right across the street.
Mm-hmm.
At 42 Church Street.
Mm-hmm. All right. The big house on the corner?
Yeah, that Happen lives in now.
Oh, that one. Oh, that was the Forbush. Forbes' house, too. That's
where
Esther was born.
This Esther here?
The writer.
Yeah.
Writer.
Yeah. Yeah.
That, Judge Trowbridge's daughter.
Yes.
Yeah. And that was... All right, well, we talked about the coal furnace, but you had electricity back. In your early neighborhood and all.
Yes.
Did you go to school in Westboro?
Yes, I went through high school here. I got through in 1925.
Mm-hmm.
No, 1929.
Uh-huh.
We were the largest class to ever graduate. There was 35 of us. And I think 32 or 33 went on to get a four-year degree.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And there was about...
Then you were in the Forbes...
No, I was the last class in the old high school on School Street.
Oh.
Mr. Armstrong was superintendent the year that I graduated.
Okay.
That was his first year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, because they built the Forbes, 1925, 26.
Mm.
Yes. So you were one of the, I think it was Ann Duckworth, or one of them said that you were all squeezed in over on, in the school at the very end there. So the, on School Street.
Yes.
They were very grateful to get over here and be in the Forbes School.
As I remember it, I don't remember being squeezed, but it was a good school.
Oh, yeah. No, but I mean, maybe what happened with that, too, with Ann, is she had gone from that school, School Street School, to this one, because it must have appeared very large.
We had wonderful teachers there.
Who were your teachers?
Well, I had Miss, who later became Mrs. Murphy, Helen Crow.
Oh, yes.
Chief Crow's daughter. Mm-hmm. She was a wonderful teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a Miss Wilson.
Mm-hmm. Well, the
Carol Gibbs taught French.
Ah.
We had good teachers, dedicated teachers.
Well, you must have been, if that many in the graduating class went on, that speaks well of your education,
yes.
Too.
Well, they taught you well, reading, writing, arithmetic.
Yeah. So we've talked about the schools and we talked about your neighborhoods, but I'm sure you had automobiles. You weren't in a horse and buggy.
Well, I can remember my father. He used to put his car up the 1st of November on Jack's.
Oh.
And he didn't take it out till middle of April. And everybody did that back
in the early 20s. 20s. Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So that's in the days when they didn't plow the streets.
Yes.
They rolled them.
Yeah.
I can see the Boston, the Worcester Street Railroad going right up West Main Street.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be riding the car and the snow would be right like that.
Way up to the windows almost, yes. Oh. Well, we were talking about the fact that they didn't plow the roads and you put the cars up on the blocks. But of course, you live downtown, so you could walk.
Walk, yes.
Yes.
Well, all of Westboro was downtown in those days,
mm-hmm.
except for farmers like Yulman's.
Yes, and Nurse. And
people like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the kids in my class that lived on the outskirts, like Marion Wilde,
mm-hmm.
there was no such thing as bus service. You walked to school.
She talked about barges. She said, but maybe that wasn't in the winter. They came in on a pung.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Because we did talk to each other 10-12 years ago now, and she did an oral tape with us, and she talked about coming
in. Who was that?
Marion Wilde.
Oh, yeah.
About coming in on the barges and the pungs in the wintertime.
Yeah.
And I know, but the streetcars must have been difficult because of Glenn Parker was talking about the rails being so slippery in the wintertime, and they would really have to hand shovel so that the trolleys could run. But we had a wonderful trolley service, didn't
we? That's right. We had trolley service to Marlboro, to Lake Chauncey, to Worcester.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we didn't go out of town in those days.
No.
I think I was, good Lord, a junior in high school before I ever went to Worcester.
Really?
And I always thought that the Worcester State Hospital was Holy Cross, because you always heard of Holy Cross, the College on the Hill.
Yes, yes, yeah. So, let me see how this is. All right, we'll go on from there. Did you go to Boston on the train or the trolley?
I can remember going on the old Boston-Worcester railroad, street railroad.
Uh-huh. Down
Route 9.
Mm-hmm.
Used to take us about an hour and a half, I'd say. We'd get it down at Lamon Street.
Oh, there was a little hut.
Yes, there was a hut there.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we used to have train service.
Good train service.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Now, my first 2 years of college, I went to Northeastern to start, and I think a 40-ride ticket was $7.20, a student ticket.
Isn't that?
And we used to have service at 6:20, 7:20, 2 minutes of 8, 10 minutes of 9, then there wasn't one till 2 o'clock, but coming out, there was one at 10 in the morning, noontime, 20 minutes past 4, or half past 4, 5 o'clock, 9:20, and then the theater train was at 11:20 to Westboro.
Wouldn't you like to see that
yeah.
again? I know. Harold Hickox has talked about that for years, hasn't he? Mm.
And when I worked in Boston, when I first got through college, I think it was only 13-something for a 40-ride ticket.
For 40 rides. Certainly would...
Pretty reasonable.
Get them off the roads a little bit, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And we were talking about, you mentioned just briefly Chauncey. Was that the kind of recreation? Did you go to Chauncey? And
well, I used to go, but not with my parents' approval.
I understand a lot of parents didn't...
During the week, it was the dance hall was a Nicola dance. And a lot of people in Westwood go.
Uh-huh.
Saturday night you didn't go, because that's when the hoodlums from Clinton and those places came in.
Yes.
And Tom Humphrey was the chief of police with Bill Edmonds.
Mm-hmm.
And they kept pretty good track of everything. They'd swing their billy as quick as they'd look at you.
Really? Did you belong? Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask if you belonged to any clubs or any organizations.
Well, I belonged to, I was brought up a Baptist.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to Christian Endeavor there.
Yes.
Matter of fact, Edna Beeman and I were baptized the first same Sunday.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
And then, something happened and my folks got upset. We changed to the Congo Church,
mm-hmm.
and we've been there ever since.
Mm-hmm.
I was married in the Congo Church, and Marion was in the Congo Church.
Mm-hmm.
You say if I belonged to any clubs, the Christian Endeavor, I used to go every Sunday night for one reason. Christian Endeavor was at 6, it'd be over at 7, and I'd have to be home at 8, and I could take Marion home. Because I started going with her in the 6th grade.
Did you really?
Yeah.
What's Marion's maiden name?
Thompson.
Thompson.
Her father ran Thompson Spa.
Oh, yes. Wonderful ice cream, I understand.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then we didn't have De Molay when I was a kid. I belonged to the Boy Scouts.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where Dr. Reed, Charles Reed, was our Boy Scout leader.
Mm-hmm.
And he was absolutely wonderful.
He was a good leader.
Yes. And we used to go to Camp Resolute.
Oh, yes.
That's where we'd go.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in my scout days, it was all like Winnie Bullen, Fat Bullen, the Tufts Boys. There was others, but I just can't recall.
But that's quite a remembrance too, because you're mentioning some names that are the people.
And,
that
as I say, Dr. Reed was a leader. He was also the town historian, if you want that right now.
Yes. Please.
He was.
Yes. Tell me about
that. He was
that.
An authority. He was a wonderful memory, a wonderful writer.
Oh, incredible.
And then his daughter, Rachel, married Carol Deering, and they lived with the Reeds because
mm-hmm.
Mrs. Reed was a cripple.
Oh, I didn't realize
and,
that.
And she took over from the father, and she helped the father a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And her knowledge of the town was terrific.
It was phenomenal.
And a matter of fact, she was a historian for the Congo Church until she left Westboro.
Yes.
They must have a lot of her records you might be able to get.
Yeah, well, I think they do. I think they have a lot of them, but we have shared them.
Mm-hmm.
We have shared them. And because without Dr. Reed, the collection in here, you know, the paper, what we call paper collection, in other words, the genealogy and the names of the families, it wouldn't have existed without his work.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Mrs. Deering carried it on.
Yes. Did you get a lot of her papers?
She gave all of her papers to the library. The reason that she did that was because, instead of the Historical Society, was because this is a better place as far as the public access. You know, the Historical Society isn't open very often. And also, this is a climate-controlled room, and everything is taken care of, and I treasure it.
And then, as I told you, which I won't say, she was upset because they weren't mentioned.
Yes.
That really bothered her.
Yes, I know. We talked. That was someone that I did. I tried very hard to get her to do an oral history with me when she was before she moved over with Audrey. Over to, where does Audrey live? Northampton.
Up in North Adams.
North Adams. That's it. And but she was reluctant and I think at that time, she was easily confused.
Yeah, she was.
and being uprooted and having to move and all, it upset her terribly. Not that she didn't want to go with Audrey, but to leave here and leave her roots and all. They had a lovely home on Milk Street.
Oh.
The Robinsons, Robinsonia. Didn't Rachel live?
Well, she lived on Fay Street.
She lived on Fay Street, but who? She talks about her mother. She talked to me about her mother on Milk Street, and it was called Robinsonia or something. Oh, it was a farm. It's right after you go by Maple Robins Road and Maple Circle and all. The Eldridges lived in the house.
Oh, I know where it is.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yes, but that was her mother.
I
that
see.
Was Miss, that was
Carol,
who,
Mrs. Reed's mother.
Yep, yes.
Oh, well,
yes.
That's a long time ago.
She did give us a picture of it, and it was a lovely farm. There was nothing around there either.
Yeah.
All those little ranches weren't built.
No, Audrey was, Rachel was a wonderful person.
Yes.
Wonderful memory.
Mm.
And her knowledge of Westboro was, everybody would call her and ask her questions.
Oh, people came from everywhere, Al, and called her from everywhere. She had, when she gave the collection to us, she left all the letters, or not all the letters, but the letters, a lot of the letters that both her father and she had received and replied to.
Did she have them cataloged, or did you have to do that?
No, I had to do that. We had about 21 great big boxes, and they were just jam-packed with papers and photographs and letters and genealogy, and so slowly but surely I integrated them into our collection.
Because as I remember the doctor, he wasn't, he didn't catalog things. He'd get something, he'd put it here.
Yeah.
Just pile things
yes.
in.
Yes. But he did. I'll show you something here, because this is a very informal situation. But this is the kind of book, you see, that he kept. You see how it says, read it to me. Can you read it? The Graves of the Soldiers of Westboro. And you see how he would do it?
Yeah.
He would, it's a small, about 5x7 book. And he would put them all in, and where they served, and where they're buried, and...
Boy, that book is old.
Oh, yes, yes.
Did you get a picture of the doctor?
I don't have it. Audrey has promised us a picture of him. The only one we had is a picture that was in the newspaper, and that, you know, newspaper pictures aren't good.
I've got one someplace. If I find it, I'll give it to you.
Oh, that would be
because
very
I
nice.
I can see him sitting here now. He always wore a bow tie. His suits are always cut this way with a vest, with that black mustache.
That black mustache.
And his old-fashioned glasses and a twinkle in his eye.
Yes.
He was a wonderful person.
He was a good vet, too, wasn't he?
As a kid, I don't remember.
You don't remember? Yeah.
I guess he was. He was the only vet we had
yes.
until Dr. Boswell came along.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think he was, he left a mark, Dr. Reed, on this town. In the historical, he and his daughter.
Yes, no question about
mm-hmm.
it.
Without them, we really wouldn't have the background that we have on the families, particularly. And the families and where they lived, that's another thing that he did remarkable service for us all, because some of these houses have burned. And he would go back in a similar notebook like this, and he would correct it and say, so that those of us who have come now can help the people who want to know this kind of thing. So I agree with you that the two of them were...
You know, just to go back a minute, speaking of teachers, Annie Fay, Annie...
Fails.
She was a great person.
She must have been.
I've got, matter of fact, you might like those. I got a couple of letters she wrote me. Oh, when she was 103 years old, or 102.
Oh, yes.
And her handwriting is just beautiful. I've got it in the History of Westboro book. Matter of fact, one of these days, I'll give you the book.
All right.
It's the History of Westboro. Do you have that?
Yes.
Do you have many of them?
Well, you know, I would like it, and I'll tell you why, because they get used so that what we do is then we bring one, for instance, the one you would give us would be in better condition. and then we could use it, and we can sort of take that other one and retire it for a while and have it rebound.
Mine goes back, well, when I was baptized, the Reverend Charles Pierce was a minister.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved him, and he loved me.
Mm-hmm.
We got along fine. And they left here after the dispute and went up to Still River.
Oh,
Mass.
Yes, yes.
And he died there. And his wife was the minister of the church for a while.
Oh.
Well, when I got married in 1933, the next year she called me up and she asked Mary and myself to go to Still River. She had something for me. In the front of this book, it says, "To Alvin and Marion, from the Reverend Charles Pierce, September 1933. And he'd been dead then for about 4 or 5 years.
Oh.
And I put Annie Fales, a couple of her letters in there.
In there. That's nice.
Oh, Annie That's called nice. Me up. Oh, she said, "Alvin, I want a ride. It'd be 102. I have to drop everything and take it." I took her all class reunions and things. So she was a wonderful person.
She was very...
Her nickname was Bunny, you know.
No, I didn't
know
that.
You didn't
know that? No.
Did you ever see her?
Oh, yes. I knew her. Uh-huh.
Didn't you think she had a face just like a bunny?
Well, now that you mention it, yes,
yeah.
She did. She did.
Yes.
My experience with her was going to the garden club, and we used to take these big boxes and go to Framingham, and we would fill them with flowers, and they would take them to the inner city in Boston. And she was in charge of that. And it was hotter than the hammers of you-know-what. And so we would drive down to Framingham, and there's a lovely ice cream store on the way back, little, you know, stand. We'd stop there, and I asked her if she'd like an ice cream. And she said yes. She certainly would. And I said, "Well, would you like vanilla?" And she said, "No, I want chocolate with Jimmy's on it."
Yeah.
And she must have been in her 90s then.
Yeah. What was she died? 104 or 5?
I think it was 104. Yeah, well, you know.
She was bossy.
Oh, was she ever?
Oh, she used to call up Admiral Denfeld and his wife and order them around, just like, "Lewis, I want to go here." he'd drop everything, take her.
Yeah.
Everybody loved her.
Well, the young people, you know, who had her for a teacher, spoke so highly of her, too.
She was the principal of the Eli Whitney School.
Mm-hmm.
See, when I moved, my folks moved from Boston, Miss Cumming was my first teacher in the third grade.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had Annie Fales. She was the principal. She was head, I think, the fourth grade, if I remember it.
Uh-huh. In the Eli Whitney School.
In the Eli Whitney
yeah.
School.
Good-looking school, beautiful architecture with those
yes.
columns and all, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, mm-hmm. It was a hard school to heat.
I imagine, because I don't think...
No,
well,
I can remember the Eli Whitney School well, because when I first came here, here was the Eli Whitney, and that school behind it, what was the name of that? That was the...
Harvey.
Well, the boys played on this side of the Eli Whitney School, and the girls on this side. Well, Marion was going to the Harvey School, and the girls played in that side. And that's the first time I'd ever seen a redhead.
Oh.
I remember that.
Well, I could see that you were quite taken with this redhead.
Yeah. Well, 57 years this year.
Is it? Oh, isn't that wonderful? Oh, yes. That really is. And we talked about the socials and the clubs and societies and all.
Well. As far as social, really in Westboro in those days, there was about four big events. The Masonic Ball, the Grange Masquerade,
oh,
the Fireman's Ball,
uh-huh,
and then at Christmas time, there was always a dance in the town hall by invitation.
Oh, isn't that nice?
And,
was that open to all the townspeople by invitation, or was it...
You had to be invited.
Yeah. Who invited you?
Well, Norm Nason, Andrew Adams.
Oh, I see.
Louis Denfeld.
Mm-hmm.
That was at first. And then when I was in college, I was put on the committee.
Mm-hmm.
And Jimmy Tufts.
Oh,
and
so
we controlled the invitations.
Mm-hmm.
We made friends and lost friends.
Oh, yes. Yes.
It was...
That's a lovely hall.
This was in the old town
hall. The old town hall. Oh, this is before this one was built?
Yes.
Oh.
But that, I would say that those stopped in about, that Christmas ball, about 29, I'd say, 30.
Mm-hmm. And that's when the other one was built?
Yes.
Right around in that time,
yeah,
wasn't
it? I worked on that. I worked for DeArmond. I drove truck when I was in college for them, when they built that high school, built that and then the present high school.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's quite a while ago.
Yes. Yeah.
They're going to paint the town hall and fix, scrape it and paint it. And then the other thing that you know they're working on, because you're in the assessor's office, which we have to talk about that too, is try to get the town hall auditorium back the way it was and
yeah.
move some of those offices out and see if we can, you know, it's not accessible, I know, to people in wheelchairs and all, but maybe they'll be able to figure out something, because there is another door there, a fire escape
yeah.
door, but yeah, maybe they'll be able
we
to.
Had quite a battle to keep that, the town hall, you remember.
Oh, do we ever. But that worked.
Well,
you were able to do it.
Yeah.
You certainly were able to do it.
I called a special town meeting by getting the votes.
Mm-hmm.
That caused a lot of hard feeling. A lot of people, some people wanted that, to be the police station.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine parking cars down where the slick men are now.
No. No, I can't. I couldn't envision that any more than you could. I
mm-hmm.
thought you were very far-sighted mm-hmm. to stick by your
well,
guns.
Well, I had a good committee. And
mm-hmm.
We won by quite a majority.
Oh, you certainly
I remember
did.
You were on our
yes.
side because
yes.
I've got a plaque in the assessor's office that you all your committee
yeah.
signed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did. Because we definitely believed it should stay
yeah.
that way. And the police station has worked out fine over there.
Mm.
A lot more parking.
Mm-hmm.
And it's made that building viable and
mm.
and living,
mm.
you know, where it was nothing before that.
Mm.
It was just sitting there. Deteriorating. So, and did your mother stay at home?
Oh, yes.
You know, we
well,
most.
No one worked in
no.
the old woman worked in those days.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, my wife has never worked.
No.
Back in the 30s, of course, I've worked for Northern Electric since I got through college.
Mm-hmm.
If a couple were going together that worked in the same office, when they get married, one of them had to get through.
Yes.
The depression was such that only one in the family could work.
Mm. Yeah.
So my mother never. Do you remember my mother's gardens down there on Ruggles Street?
Yes.
People come from everywhere.
Yes.
She had something like, 4,000 or 5,000 tulips?
It was beautiful.
500 or 600 rose bushes.
Mm-hmm. That was her love, wasn't
yeah.
it? Her garden.
Yeah.
That was beautiful, yes. And but what did your father do then? Wasn't
well,
the farm.
Well, we came from Medford. No, Somerville. Well, Somerville. My father came out here as foreman or superintendent of the Fraser Machine Company. And during the first year, an Englishman of the name of Sid Player bought interest in it.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, there was Sid Player and Bert Inge.
Oh.
We used to be up
yep.
on Milk Street.
Mm-hmm.
And my father, they invented the lapping machine.
Oh, really?
That's a machine that would go like this, would make ball bearings smooth.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So he left Fraser's, and he went up with Sid Player and Bert Inge to start that company.
Mm-hmm.
And they had that about 4 or 5 years, I think, when Norton Company bought them out.
Oh.
And my father went up
to Norton Company.
In charge of that.
Yeah. Didn't Mr. Inge go there too?
Mr. Inge did too.
Mm-hmm.
And Sid Player went back to England.
Oh.
And took the patent with him over there and run a factory over there.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Oh, that's an interesting story because I didn't know anything about that. That's
in that factory on the first floor was the Bethel Player, whatever company.